Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's MJ, and you're listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. As usual, before I begin, I'd like to give a quick shout-out to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to utilize this opportunity to give a huge shout-out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine. So a huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, Jen of the Filthy MTG Casuals, and Coach J-Ro for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine for more information. And you can pick up your very own MTG in Quarantine branded playmat over at Inked Gaming. That's INKEDGaming.com. Got two really awesome versions, both the full color logo as well as the grayscale version. They both look killer. You're going to want one for you and all of your friends for this holiday season. So that's go on over to Inked Gaming. That's INKEDGaming.com. Search MTG in Quarantine. I will drop the link to my affiliate link in the description of this episode, so you can go pick those up and help support the channel. It's greatly appreciated. So it's that time again. It is the 200th episode of the MTG in Quarantine podcast. I mean, I'm really excited. When I started this podcast 2.5 years ago, I never thought I was actually going to hit the 200 episode mark, but you know, here we are. So yeah, I'm basically going to spend this whole episode pretty much talking about everything that's changed since the 100th episode. If you've been listening long enough, and I hope you have been, and if you haven't been, I hope you go back and you check out that 100th episode, because it was a really good one. It was basically the 100th episode I did was the five commander decks that I felt really defined me as a player and as a brewer. And obviously, I'm not going to do that this time around because, you know, why why mess with perfection, right? But honestly, I'm going to talk about the things that have happened and the things that have developed in my own life and my own content creation journey since that 100th episode. So without further ado, I'd like to take a stroll down memory lane over the last year plus and just talk about some of the things that have changed in that time and some of the great things that have come out of the MTG in Quarantine podcast. So anyway, I'm going to get us started here by saying that in the last 100 episodes, I have definitely added a whole bunch of new content series. Again, if you've been listening to the show, you've probably heard me talk about these. You've heard these episodes. But again, if you're a little bit newer to the show, ever since that 100th episode was released in August of 2021, I started with the Noah Brewer series. And the Noah Brewer series kind of came out of just a discussion with Astral's Flame. And I really couldn't come up with a really good idea for a deck or a, you know, a deck tech topic or just, you know, one of the regular interview segments. And I just thought, hey, what if I just ask someone about the way that they brew their own EDH decks? Because obviously I spend a lot of time talking about how I brew. Obviously my 100th episode was my five decks that I'm most proud of brewing. And I really wanted to know more about what other people were doing, what their thought process was. So I did that episode back in January, and I wasn't quite sure exactly what I was going to do. It felt kind of weird, I suppose, when I released it. It felt like kind of a weird one-off, especially compared to all the main topics that I've been having on there. And honestly, but after it got released, I think it kind of hit that particular chord inside of me that said, hey, I think I'm on to something, because again, if there is something that we as brewers and content creators, just community members in the MTG community, love talking about in EDH, it's how we build our decks. It is the reason why we play, and it is also our own brewing style. And once I figured that out and I did a couple episodes, I really started to realize the value of this, because something I've learned about content is that people always want to be involved, always want to have their opinion heard. And again, this can be really good sometimes, you know, be a little bit controversial, obviously, on social media and whatnot. But again, I'm not going to get into that. The point is, people really want to talk and share their ideas. And I thought that this was an amazing opportunity to give a platform to people to just, you know, talk for 20 to 30 minutes about their deck building styles. And over time, I just talked to a whole bunch of really great people, got to learn a whole lot about how other people look at EDH, because obviously I have my own way of evaluating cards, my own way of building decks, etc., etc. And, you know, there are a lot of people who do some similar things to that, but there are also players who do things very differently, and that's totally cool. I wanted to learn that because, again, it's nice to know that You know, everyone is 100% unique and no one goes at this particular problem of trying to build a deck in the same way. And that's so awesome to learn. I've learned so much from just talking to people over these 20 to 30 minute conversations and just really picking their brain. It's been really nice. And honestly, I really have to get back to doing that. It's definitely one of those kind of content segments where I get to basically sit back and ask a couple of questions and allow my guests to go on for 20 minutes about why they enjoy EDH, how they build, and then even just really talk about a deck that they're working on that they're really excited to share. So those are the kinds of episodes that I really enjoy having because they're really open-ended and you never really quite know where they're going to go. It's not really just saying, hey, I want you to talk about a specific deck. It's, I want you to talk about how you got started in the format. I wanted you to talk about, you know, what keeps you coming back to this game. I mean, obviously, we're all addicted to EDH, right? And I just want to know what people really like about this game. Because, again, we wouldn't be interacting in this content sphere if we didn't enjoy this game. So what keeps you coming back? And that's what I want to know. And then just, yeah, wanting to preview a deck that is either in the process or, you know, is new and someone just playing around with that deck for the time being. So just, you know, finding out what excites people about EDH really gets me excited. So that's why I do those. The second thing that's really, I've really gotten more into in the last 100 episodes were all the CEDH deck techs that I've had on this channel. Obviously, I got started kind of easily. I had a Ryan from Playing with Power on to talk about Godo. To get started with that. And that those offerings have basically expanded to a lot more options. And honestly, since I was just getting started in CDH around the time that I released my first episode, I believe it was it was over a year ago that I released my first episodes on CDH. And that last year, I've had some real bangers for episodes on here for deck techs. Because again, the way I look at CDH is that it's something I want to learn more about. I know I'm definitely not an expert in it, and I want to use this platform, this podcast, as an opportunity for you as the listener to learn a little bit more about CDH, learn about some of the different strategies, some of the different decks, and then make a decision for yourself whether you would like to get started in CDH if you haven't already, or if you have gotten started in CDH, maybe find a new deck or strategy that you haven't tried out before and give that a shot. So I've had some really interesting topics on here. Obviously, some really, really good deck techs. The one I mentioned with Godo, with Ryan from Playing with Power. I had Faded MTG talking about Rionya Fire Dancer. I had Nathan the Hermit Druid on to talk about Dargo and Dargo loops and all that sort of crazy stuff. I've had Ken Bowman and Scoop Phase on to talk about Karkashima. Hopefully I'll be able to finally get around to part two of that where we talk about Kark and other partners in CDH, but that Karkashima episode went really well. I had Cyrus from Mental Misplay on to talk about Blue Farm, that is your Tim Necrom pairing. I've honestly just had so many different things on here. I had Adam from Casually Competitive, which they're actually returning to the content game, which is great. Talk about stacks in CDH. And I also had Dan from Modern on MTG, as well as Helenium from Spell Seekers, on to talk about all things about Ad Nauseam as well. So, I mean, there's just been so... And again, this is obviously not a comprehensive list, but this is the kind of content that I'm getting out there because I learned so much from these sorts of episodes. Because, again, I'm not really a super invested player in CDH. I will play sometimes, but again, I'm still so new to the community that there's so much that I can learn, and I want to make sure that I'm pushing or, you know, sharing that learning with everyone here on the podcast. So everything that I'm learning from these conversations with these amazing creators is everything that I hope I'm able to pass on to you as the listener. And if, again, I want to use, you reiterated this call, that if you haven't given a chance, or sorry, if you haven't given CDH a try, I highly recommend it. Because it's definitely a completely different challenge than regular EDH. And, you know, for me especially, it's kind of nice once in a while to go from casual EDH, where we're here to have a good time, to then go into cutthroat CDH, where it's like we're having fun just playing with the most powerful, most busted cards ever printed. And there's definitely a nice competitive thrill to be had there. So that's definitely something else that... That's really why I do those episodes. It's a lot of fun, and I really need to get back to doing those in the future. And another episode type that I got really started in the last year, and I've done a couple of these, were the community episodes. I think I did the first one Thanksgiving last year, so exactly a year ago. And it was an episode cards were thankful for, from 2021. And I basically just had people from the community give me a 30 to 60 second audio snippet of cards that they were thankful for from 2021, whether that be something they liked from a certain set or just, you know, it just even a card in general. It was just really nice to be able to bring the community in because, again, I don't do this podcast in a vacuum. I want to make sure that there's community input. I want to make sure that there's great community members on here talking about whatever the topic is for that particular episode. And the ability to be able to share that stage, this microphone, with cool people doing segments in their own words, I really think that brings the community home. And that's really why I do those episodes. I think I've done three or four of these. I did that one. I did one for the new year. Favorite MTG stories from 2021. And then I did one for Command Fest Bellevue back in July/August as well this year. So, yeah, I just really enjoy those episodes because, again, they provide a stage for the community to share their thoughts on a particular topic. It's the kind of episode that you don't really hear a lot in the MTG content sphere. Because obviously we as content creators, we like talking. This is the reason why you're listening to the show. I mean, if you didn't like listening to my show, you probably wouldn't be listening to the... Oh, sorry. If you didn't like listening to me yak about things, probably wouldn't be listening to the show, right? And that's true for part of it. But I also really like utilizing this platform to give other people voices as well. And that's really what those episode types really do for me is... They allow me to share the spotlight with people who, you know, have opinions, have thoughts, and just want to share their stories. And that's really what I enjoy about the content. It is the community. It has always been about the community and always will be. So, yeah, I mean, I've done a whole lot of different episode types. Like I said, done all the Noah Brewers, done more fun-sized spotlights, which are easy to do. I've done a lot of interviews, a lot of CDH stuff. There's just been a lot of crazy, crazy stuff here. But yeah, going beyond those, this past year, I've had the amazing opportunity to go to several Magic the Gathering conventions. So I want to talk about those for a moment here. So back in June, I did get a chance to go to DreamHack Dallas as an invited content creator there. And again, it was my first time going to a convention in better part of 3 years, obviously. And it was the first opportunity I had to actually show off my cosplay at an event, my Tireless Tracker cosplay. And I had so much fun at DreamHack that it really got the juices flowing to get back to conventions, honestly, because I had so much fun. I got to meet some people. I got to meet a lot of creators who I'd gotten to know over the previous 2 years there. Finally got to put a face with the name, and it was just cool being in person, playing games, being in my costume, and that really is what helped feed into the hype that was around Command Fest Bellevue, obviously. And I've talked more in depth about this on previous episodes, but again, Command Fest Bellevue was an amazing 3-day experience in Bellevue, Washington. Just so many friends, so many games. Just an amazing time. I can't say much more about that because just like you have to go and check out those episodes if you haven't already because they were chock full of just cool stuff. My Twitter was just blowing up that weekend because of just all the cool pictures, wearing the cosplay. I got to meet a lot of my fellow cosplayers for the first time, and it was just an amazing experience. And if you're interested in checking those out, if you can find my Twitter profile, there all the pictures are still on there. I have a couple of pictures on my Instagram as well if you're interested, so check that out. There is a link in the link tree in this episode, so definitely check that out if you're interested in finding some of the pictures that I did my cosplay at Command Fest Bellevue. And obviously, I just went to MTG Summit a few weeks ago in Salt Lake City, Utah, brought to you by Kingdoms TV, and... Again, I was there just 2 days, but again, being in costume and playing a lot of games, meeting people, seeing old friends, it was a great experience. And honestly, the conventions for Magic the Gathering, I think that's really where a lot of the soul of the community comes from. And I'm not kidding about that. It's literally, Magic the Gathering is the game we play, but it's really, I think, more about the gathering than it is about the magic. And I'm gonna stand on that hill. Is that the gathering, the social opportunity is really where it is, especially for myself and my fellow content creators, is yes, we could play online anytime we want. Spell Table's great. We have games all the time. Things are great. But we don't really get to see each other all that often in person. And the ability to all get together at giant conventions like this and play games and just hang out for a couple of days, that's really what these conventions are all about. And honestly, I can't wait to see what 2023 brings around. Hopefully more conventions, more opportunities to make content, hopefully more opportunities to get my cosplay out, and just hopefully more opportunities to just play games with friends, meet new people, and just honestly just have one hell of a time, because that's why we're here. We're making content because we enjoy this, so I just enjoy it, and it's really fun. A second thing that I want to talk about here are some of the changes or, you know, small tweaks that I've made to my own deck building style in the last year. And again, I have my Mox field up here to kind of help myself along, because again, I go through so many different ideas for decks over the months and the years that it's kind of hard to remember all of the ideas that popped into my brain since the 100th episode anyway. And obviously there's a lot of things on my Mox field where if you check that out, you're not going to see, because again, I'm toying around with concepts, but they never quite get to the point where I want them to be at. So again, the things that are up there are pretty much decks I have. There are a few concept decks up there, some lists I had out there floating around, and I don't exactly have those in paper. But something I've definitely noticed about my deck building style in the last year is I'm really starting to recede away from the popular commanders in a different way strategy. So around the 100th episode, I was starting to build some powerful commanders just a little differently. I remember talking about my Anya Falconrath deck, for instance, where, again, it's a madness deck. It's a very CDH viable commander. But I didn't really want to throw 30 madness cards willy-nilly into a deck and call it a madness deck, right? I wanted to have a little bit of value in that deck, so I decided to make it a reanimator deck. But I ended up finding out in practice that sometimes with the social contract with Rule Zero, people still won't believe that you're trying to run a reanimator deck, just, you know, where I'm trying to reanimate Emrakul from the graveyard, so I have a 13-13 flying and trample. There were definitely some miscommunications in earlier games where people thought I was going to try to combo off with the World Gorger combo, even though I told them I wasn't going to do that, because that wasn't what the deck does. And that experiences like that really made me start rethinking, you know, maybe this is not necessarily where I want to go, because no matter what I do with some of these powerful commanders, if people don't believe you, you're going to end up having some bad beats, because they're just going to wail on you. For whatever reason, even though you've told them that you're not going to do the thing. So I've pretty much put a pause on doing those sorts of decks, because I don't really have fun being the target as soon as we go out of the gate just because the commander I'm playing, especially since I'm not playing that version of the deck. Now, if I was playing the World Gorger combo or similar lines like that in my Anya Falconrath deck, of course you're gonna expect that. It's just, unfortunately, where I'm at in my deck building journey, that wasn't what I was trying to do with that deck, and basically having it be treated like I was doing that, it led to some bad beats. And honestly, I don't reach for that deck anymore, just because, and I just don't enjoy playing it anymore. And I think that's really kind of been the story of the last 100 episodes for me, is I've undergone another seismic shift in my building style, is I'm really starting to go into super niche strategies. So I actively go on EDH Rec and try to find commanders with very, very few, or in some cases, no deck lists to their name, and I try to build things. So The thing that I just did a couple of days ago was I've been looking for obviously a Rakdos deck for a little while since my Anya Volgenrath deck just isn't doing it for me anymore. And I just a couple of days ago threw together a deck pairing that has zero deck lists going into the day, and that is a Vile Smasher of the Fierce and Miara Thorn of the Glade deck. And it's, you know, it's elf themed, I guess, but just it has a lot of the Vile Smasher type tech in there, but it ends up coming in under $100. It fits a lot of the boxes. It allows me to utilize the commanders in an interesting way. Vile Smasher obviously can deal direct damage to my opponents. Miara can help draw me cards when my elves die. So it's a weird mix of cheap elf cards along with some really nice Vile Smasher payoffs. And it's just a really interesting deck that, again, no one had posted a list on EDH Rec when I started building this deck. And I still think it's the only one on EDH Rec right now. So if you're interested and it finally shows up, definitely go check that out. Obviously, I haven't built this deck. It was just an idea, something rattling around in my brain. And again, I really want to use this as an example of really where I've gone as a deck builder. Is I'm tired of playing the popular commanders. Again, is that I realize that's not really what I want to do in EDH. I want to play the weird partner pairings that people have never thought about. I want to play the commanders that people think are junk. I mean, why do you think I play Kotha-Fed? People think he's junk. And I love playing that deck because I love proving people wrong. So honestly, if you can describe my deck building style as trying to prove a point that every commander is viable in its own way and needs to be loved, well, I think that is really my mission as an EDH brewer these days, is that obviously, people didn't really feel like they wanted to put Vile Smasher and Miara in a deck together because there's really no synergy there. But something I really love about the partner mechanic is Vile Smasher is so generically weird that you can basically throw any partner with them and you can basically have an interesting deck. And I do have an etched foil of Miara Thorn of Glade that I did pull in Commander Legends, which looks real nice, by the way. And yeah, I just figured, what the heck, let's play some Rakdos elf synergy, because red has a lot of really cool things, black has a lot of really cool things, and yeah, I can basically create a funky deck that allows me to do Vile Smasher things while also giving me some fun little card draw synergies in the command zone. And yeah, it's a real interesting deck. Not necessarily because it's powerful, but because it certainly has some synergy. And that's really what I want to bring up here, is decks don't have to be uber powerful to have some interesting synergy. I am trying to look for cutting edge things to do that also allow me to have high variance games. Because again, I love high variance. I love silly things. I'm the kind of guy who would love to see a Scrambleverse or a Warp World go off, because I just love seeing those kinds of things happen, because I want to play EDH to have stories. I don't want to play every single game the exact same, because I personally find that boring. I mean, even in my CDH games, which some people would consider boring, it's still the fact that there's so much going on that you can never be bored in the moment, because you have to know exactly what to do at the right time, gets all the competitive juices flowing, and things are not boring. So when I port that back to casual EDH, I want to bring that kind of experience to my casual Battlecruiser games. And I personally just enjoy that. So that's really where I've been going. I play, obviously, some of the decks that I have been playing for the last 2 years more. I've made some changes to some of my decks. I rebuilt my Archangel Avacyn deck. Reconfigured my mono blue draw deck to Thassa, God of the Sea, which is something I play a lot these days. I still play Kotha-Fed a lot. I don't play Selenium much anymore, which is kind of weird. Obviously, I used to talk about that deck a lot. It used to be one of my favorite decks, and now I don't really reach for it all that often because I think it needs a little bit of work. It's not that I won't get back to playing the deck. I think it just kind of it's sitting on the shelf right now. It needs a little work. Another deck that was popular for a while was my Boros Party Favors deck. This is my Krark and Prov of the Steel Legion deck, where it was just Krark doing coin flip fun things. I mean, it was a really crappy deck. But again, I really enjoyed that deck. Again, I don't play it much anymore because it kind of needs the right matchup to really be the most fun. But it's a super casual deck that just does a lot of dumb things in Boros colors, and I just love that sort of thing. And that's really, yeah, that particular deck right there, I really think encapsulates what I'm trying to do with my deck building, is instead of building really streamlined decks all the time, I'm just trying to find new and silly ways to do the same old thing. I want to turn creatures sideways and beat face most of the time, and I want to make sure I can find decks that allow me to do that, but do that in kind of a different way. Find partner pairs that, you know, one partner is super, super strong, as CDH Viable, for instance, like Vile Smasher, and then pair them with a commander that was like an uncommon from Commander Legends, you know, that no one really thinks about, especially in that partner pair. And this is something that I did originally with my Malcolm and Falthus deck, my Dimir Siren Tribal deck, which at the time was the first of its type on EDH Rec. And Malcolm is very CDH viable. Falthus is not. And Sirens are definitely not a super strong theme. But I really enjoyed putting that deck together because it provided me with some interesting synergy that I'd never really thought of before when I was first coming up with the deck, and then when I finished the deck, that there were so many interesting synergies in there, in the deck, that came to me as I was building it. And again, those are the kinds of decks where when you're a new player, you're going to probably gravitate towards the stronger cards because that's what seems to be the best way of doing that. And I'm not trying to say people are wrong doing that. I'm just saying that ultimately in my journey, the thing I've wanted to do is be different, stand out. And so a lot of the cards I build around are cards that people have either overlooked or just say are bad. And I am unapologetic in the fact that I'm trying to say that I love these cards, that this is my identity. Yes, they are going to burn me time and again, but I'm just going to make it clear. If I'm having fun, haven't I won at the game of life, technically? This also really goes for my Duskmantle Seer deck. I just built this recently, and I took this to MTG Summit and had an amazing, amazing, amazing game with some really cool people. Got a game in with Light, who works at Wizards of the Coast, as well as Talia Vess, and ended up winning with my Duskmantle Seer, my Party Bob deck, basically by having five copies of Party Bob on the battlefield, plus a Keen Duelist, so five upkeep triggers on Duskmantle Seer clones, plus the Keen Duelist trigger. And basically how that game ended up is I would have lost the game about four different times in those upkeep triggers, in the upkeep trigger stack. And I kept finding ways to be able to gain enough life to get down to one when my final opponent finally fell. And I mean, it was an absolutely bonkers game. And really what I learned out of that game was, if you enjoy the deck you're playing, that's all you need. Is that, yes, I won that particular game, but if I had lost that game, I wasn't going to feel bad about it because I still got to do some silly things. The ability to copy Party Bob with Spark Double and then copy Spark Double. That was so much fun, just getting to see what a silly deck like that could do. And that's really what I'm trying to hit home here, is I just love these silly decks that do silly things, and they're not super powerful in most cases, but honestly, I just really enjoy the ride. Is I love putting together decks that make people turn their head and go, huh? Because then I know that I have come across, I've hit that particular vein in people's minds that, hey, this guy is doing something really cool. I want to see what else he does. And that, to me, as an EDH brewer, that is the ultimate compliment. I want people to remember my building style because it's something that they've never seen before. And I want to make sure that my games aren't boring. So, you know, Party Bob is not the only card that does the Party Bob type thing in the deck. I'm running OG Bob in there. I'm running a few Keen Duels. I run Twilight Prophet, you know? These are each of the creatures that does that sort of thing, and I'm trying to copy them as many times as I can. And it really, that's what the deck is trying to do, is just mess around with those upkeep draw type triggers. And, you know, I've lost games with this too, where I still got to do something absolutely absurd. This deck is not the most resilient, but again, if I get a chance to do some fun things, and even after board wipes, I can still do some silly things. So, really, I think the takeaway here is that I am searching for unique experiences now, where I would much rather try to come up with a brand new strategy or just come up with a brand new pairing rather than try to recreate an existing archetype. And yeah, I think that's really where I'm going to end off here, is that it's been an awesome ride through the past 100 episodes. I've had so many interesting things go on the last year. New sets, I finally got back to pre-releasing a lot. You know, got to open Double Masters 2022. We got to do the Brothers War draft at Summit. Yeah, just so many different things recently. And yeah, I honestly don't know where I'm going to be going for the next 100 episodes. But again, I didn't know where I was going to be going after episode 100. So now that I look back at my Spotify playlist, excuse me, and see all the cool stuff that I have done in the last 100 episodes, it really reminds me of why I do this podcast. It's just, I love talking about Magic the Gathering. I love talking about EDH. I love talking about my own unique brewing style. If you're interested in checking out more about my brewing style, I did an episode on that one with kind of a weird clickbait title about my EDH deck building style revealed. Woo! And honestly, I've probably changed a little bit since then. But yeah, Kothfed's still probably my favorite deck, and I really keep looking forward to trying to blow people's minds when I sit down to an EDH table and play. I just love funny decks, a la Boros, and I love combat. So yeah, but I also enjoy playing some CDH. I keep building fun little fringe CDH decks as well, so you never know what'll happen there. And yeah, I hope you enjoyed listening to this 200th episode, and here's to another 100 great episodes coming here in the future. All right, I want to utilize this opportunity again to give another huge shout-out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/mtgandquarantine. It's a huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, Jenna the Filthy MTG Casuals, and Coach J-Row for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtgandquarantine for more information. And I hope you enjoyed this episode of the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.